is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Now, you may think, well, I can't serve because I have this. I can't do some mission God wants me to do because of my family. That is your mission. That's the first step. Don't look for a role. Don't look for something out there. It's always right here, right now. That's the mission God has for you. It begins in the home. It begins with our own heart, disciplining our own life. Then it extends beyond just us. Our light begins to shine into those around us, maybe our children, or if our parents live in our home, or our spouse, others around us. We begin to minister and direct, and there's unity in the sense of godliness.
We all like to imagine we're called to some grand, glamorous mission that's going to change the world and result in plaques, statues, and books in our honor. The truth is, most of us are called into much more low-key roles in this life. But we are part of a grand plan, and each of us are valued by the Creator. As Pastor Troy will encourage us in today's message, even if it's just to your own family and the people in your small circle, you're called to glorify God and point others to Him. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 1 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
They were upset because he said that they shouldn't have been married and in a certain relationship, and so the wife wanted John the Baptist dead. So it's a whole soap opera. That's what happens when your life's a mess. But when you recognize that John the Baptist was just a witness for the Lord, and that John the Baptist was in prison because he was only doing God's will, not the consequences of any sin, then when John the Baptist is killed, it didn't go so well for him. He did end up dead at about the age of 30. Not very old. Some say his life was cut short, but it's never cut short when you're in the will of God. Just cut off, because he fulfilled God's purpose. That was God's purpose for him. And then it was time to go. God has a plan and a mission for our life. Now, I know I say it that way, and you're like, well, I don't want to finish God's plan then if that's what happens, you know. I don't want to go. Scripture says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's got a plan for your life just the way you are. You may have some little quirks. You may think, well, I don't have this gift, and I don't have these abilities, and I'm kind of shy, or I'm kind of extrovert, or whatever it might be, and these things get me into trouble. Look, God's got a plan for your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He doesn't make mistakes. Ephesians chapter 2:10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, these works that we're to walk in, let me just say this, they're not a role. I think we've done an injustice to our church culture by turning everything into a job or a job position or a role. Because so many are, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to this. I'm called to be a worship leader, like some role. They just attain to some role. But no one was ever called to a role. The role title was given to them because of what they did naturally and what God blessed in their life. So we're not called to a role. We're just called to do what God has given us to do each and every day. And then, you know, we may have to say something like, that person has the gift of evangelism and their heart is burdened. They can't, it's like, I can't not speak. I have to share the gospel. It's in me, man. I have good news. And so the title is evangelist. They're called to evangelists? Well, I don't know. But they are definitely an evangelist. And they're called to minister to that person. And then they were called to go talk to that person. And they were called to go to that person. So I guess by definition, that way, they have that role. But they're not called to a role. Like, I have to do this because I'm an evangelist. No. You do it because he called you to go minister to that. Go share here. God brought crowds here. And now you're sharing with them. That's it. So it's not about roles. Following the Lord is not about roles as much as it is about responsibility. God has given us each responsibility each and every day. Works that we should walk in faithfully. And God unfolds life for you as you respond to life by faith in a way that honors him. You respond to the way life comes at you. Some things are great, but other things are challenging. And the way that you react, respond, act, whatever it may be, you do so by faith in the Lord, and it goes well with you. In his plan, when you're following him, you are invincible. Did you know that? No one can take your life from you. That's what Job didn't know was going on behind the scenes, but his life was guarded by God. And your life is invincible in the will of God. Even if he asks you to do something that seems scary or risky, I could lose my job. You are invincible. And you may lose your job, you know, but God can provide another job, another source of income. But you're invincible when you're in God's will because he has a plan. It's his way. Now, on the contrary, out of his plan, we've been described as salt that's lost its saltiness. Hey, so you're supposed to be in the world, being a preservative in the world like salt. There's a slight bit of a sting, not offensive, but a healing kind of a sting, you know, like killing bad germs. It creates a thirst. Salt creates a thirst. That's what we're supposed to be. But salt that's lost that saltiness, absolutely no impact. He said it's not good for anything but to be thrown out and just walked on by men. Can't use it. And that's the way you should feel about that. Oh, no. You don't want to be that salt. Some say, you know, the reason I don't want to do God's will is I'm afraid that, like John the Baptist, if I just rush in and do everything God wants me to do, I might get it all done like quickly and then he'll kill me at like 30 or 35 years old. I don't want to die young, so I kind of resist. Let's go through this thing slowly. Look, if your salt that's lost its saltiness, you're a dead man walking anyway. You have no use. It's better to die by faith than to live your way. Because walking by faith has led to your being in prison and being beheaded or going over to the mission field in Africa and giving your life over there in service to the Lord. People do that for their countries. And we serve a country, a kingdom of heaven. But the nice thing is when people die for their countries, they're dead. But when people die for Christ, who live in Christ, they live. They live better than they've ever lived before. So, God's got a plan, a mission for you. And it begins right now. Not after you clean things up. In fact, the cleaning up is part of the mission. It's part of it. You hear stories of those who take great risks as part of God's plan. So they go and they smuggle Bibles into some communist country because it's against their law, but the people need the scriptures. The country's coming down harsh on them. And so they put some Bibles and they try to cover it and hide it only to be searched. And the crew comes back, the soldiers come and they open it up and he, the person, sees, oh no, you can see the Bibles right there. Surely I'm going to be found and killed. But the soldiers search, they look around, and for some reason, whatever, they don't see the Bibles. You hear these stories all the time. You read missionary stories, those who've risked their lives to serve the Lord. You go, wow, how did they not see it? George Mueller simply started a breakfast club. He was a rotten kid growing up, selfish. But finally, he comes to the Lord. He gives his life to the Lord. He stopped thinking so much of himself, taking care of himself. And once he was able to let go of all that, one time he was walking through the streets of Bristol and He sees orphans, and back then they were orphans had nothing. No one took care of them. They were like wild dogs on the street. And so he said, man, these kids could sure use some help. I can't help them all, but I can do something. So they tried a breakfast club, just invite some of them, go get them from the street and invite some of them. He just wanted to do what he could do by faith. And God worked in him and his wife a humongous orphanage campus that he blessed them with. If you've never read the story of George Mueller, I'd read it. Because if you want your faith to be inspired, George Mueller was a man who walked by faith, not by sight. And God did some great things through this man. So, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's the only thing that satisfies us. Nothing else makes us feel complete but that which God has intended for us to do, because we're like a finely shaped piece, fearfully and wonderfully made. And we only fit where God knows we fit. The willingness to do what small things God had them do led these guys that I mentioned to do things they never imagined they would do. They didn't pursue a role, though. I want you to note that. They didn't pursue a role. All they did was respond to what God had given them each day. Each day. That's all we need to do. So, wherever you're at, whatever your past, whatever struggles, this is the day, right here, right now, where the mission begins. It goes forward from here. Now, you may think, well, I can't serve because I have this. I can't do some mission God wants me to do because of my family. That is your mission. That's the first step. Don't look for a role. Don't look for something out there. It's always right here, right now. That's the mission God has for you. It begins in the home. It begins with our own heart, disciplining our own life. Then it extends beyond just us. Our light begins to shine into those around us, maybe our children, or if our parents live in our home, or our spouse, others around us. We begin to minister and direct, and there's unity and a sense of godliness in the home. And then it goes beyond that. People stand back and they look at the home and they look at the order and they look at the love and they look at the, they go, how do we get what you have? And you go, well, I started, did this, I followed the Lord. What is God speaking to your heart? What is he saying that you need to do? I can tell you what I did, and here's what I did, but only you know those areas that God's dealing with in your heart, those things that will fix you or fix your home. And then your ministry is, well, you didn't try it, you didn't seek it, but it's going outside the home now. And God's using you. It's a very natural process.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
So John was a man on a mission, bearing witness of the light. It's just who he was. It's who God made him to be. Verse 9, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now let's talk for a moment about a world's rejection. There was a man on a mission, but there was also a world that rejected Jesus. Verses 10 and 11 summarize Jesus' life. It says he came to earth, mankind did not recognize him. It gets more specific, born to the nation, his own, who were looking for him, but they didn't recognize or receive him. That word the words to know him, it's one word actually, gnosko, which means to recognize, like we should have recognized him. Like God can create, God can calm the oceans, God can do these things, he can heal the sick, God can do these miracles. Well, Jesus did these things, we should have recognized he's not an ordinary man. But they didn't recognize him, nor did they receive him. The Creator came, but they pushed him away. One thing that the world consistently gets wrong is who Jesus is. It's what leads to cults when they misunderstand who Jesus is. They want some form of religion, but Jesus is a mere man, or Jesus was just one of the angels, Michael the archangel, or Jesus was, but he wasn't God. And so they mistake who he is, and you can't follow him if you're following the wrong definition of Jesus. You have to follow him. So you hear things like, he was a good man. Well, he was a great prophet. He was definitely diligent, went to the cross, and even died for people. That's a good thing. The religious leaders during Jesus' time referred to him or called him a deceiver, a tax evader, someone serving Satan. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked who the people thought he was. And they said, well, some say John the Baptist. John the Baptist had been killed already at this time, so John the Baptist resurrected, or the spirit of John the Baptist was in him. Others say Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Those from his own hometown said that he was out of his mind. He's crazy. There was a time when Jesus hung back in his home, near his hometown of Nazareth, when a big feast was going on and everybody was sort of going toward Jerusalem. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. But Jesus hung back at this time, mostly because they were out to kill him. So he hung back away from the crowds, and his brothers say something to him, like antagonistic toward him. And it's in John chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, we read, his brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you're doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. And then it says this, for even his brothers did not believe in him. They didn't get it. They didn't know who he was. So verse 10, it's so true. He was in the world, the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. It's the reason so many reject Christ. They don't know who he is. They don't know he's God. Oh, there's something out there. There's some force. There's some home to the earth. There's some something they're trying to tune themselves to. But if you knew that the one who created has final say-so over everything, including your final ending, that if he were right here wanting a relationship with you, if we really believe that, it would change the way we respond to him or treat him. I've seen it with people. They'll treat you one way. When I was a worship leader, or I've seen it, let's use it with military. You see someone in their civvies, in their civilian clothes. And so they're like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing all right. They don't treat them with respect or anything. They just think some old guy. And all of a sudden they have a commander's call. And the commander comes in uniform, colonel. He runs the whole show. And it's him. Oh, that's that guy. I thought he was just some nut. Some old guy who had a lot of opinions. I didn't know his opinions were right. You don't know because he didn't know the uniform. See, Jesus was clothed in a body. Earth didn't know God was going to come clothed that way. So they didn't receive him. They missed everything that they were told. And they missed it. Verse 11 is even more specific, referring to the Jews not receiving him. He came into his own and his own did not receive him. So he's saying the world didn't recognize him. It was God. He was the creator. The world didn't recognize him. But it's worse than that, because those who were supposed to be waiting for him, those who were his own kin, those who knew the scriptures and were supposed to be waiting, they didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. They didn't accept him. The reason they didn't accept him is because he wasn't what they wanted. They didn't, like, who wants to be saved from sin? We're God's people here. We are the standard. What we want is to be saved from the oppression of Rome. We're looking for someone to come in, take authority, put us back in that place of being God's anointed and blessed. And that's what they were looking for. But they didn't want someone who would call out their own wrongs, their own fault, their own sin. And you know, I think that is the dividing line. I don't think people don't believe in the Lord because it's too theologically deep. I've heard some say that's too simple. That's too simple. No, can't be that. It's too simple. I think it's a matter of the will. It's the one thing that we see. It's this one common thread throughout when we talk of Satan's will, I will. When we look at Adam and Eve and the choice that they had in the garden, it's the one thing that God won't. He will guide, but he will not overwrite. Because if he ever overwrites the will of a person, then that command to love him can never be fulfilled. Because there has to be a choice. And the greatest command is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, he explains, how do we love you? And he explains, if you love me, you obey my commands. You do my words, you do what I say. Why is it that you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? The reason for the world's rejection of Jesus primarily is he's not who they want. Salvation, yes, but not the other stuff. You want someone controlling my life. You want someone telling me what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do. We don't like that. It's that sinful nature. It's rebellion. So the Jews did not receive him. They didn't receive him. They rejected him. And the Jewish Talmud, there's some writings that are explanations about some of the scriptures, some thoughts like commentary. And they explain Jesus away in their own writings. And let me quote how they explain Jesus. Jesus was the illegitimate son of Mary. And no more. They also say that Jesus was called Panthera and that he learned magical arts in Egypt and came to Israel to instigate a rebellion. So this is how they explain, hey, how did the miracles? What about the miracles? Well, he went to Egypt and he learned all of this stuff. And so they have these explanations, especially those who were there, they know better. They just outright reject it. So he came, but he wasn't recognized, nor was he received. That is, he wasn't received as a whole by the nation. Nationally, they should have received him. Welcome, here is our Messiah, nation of Israel, but they rejected him. However, there were some individuals who did accept. And that's the way it works in the world, too. The world as a whole has and will reject Christ, which is the way it's going to be. But there are individuals who receive him. And that's where we come to verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this is a personal invitation to those who would receive him. You can't follow numbers. You can't follow the masses on this one. You can't go with the consensus. Well, what does everybody else think? Okay, then we'll go that direction. This is individual. The Lord, who is alive, speaks to every single person. We're going to talk in 2 weeks about grace. Every human being has been touched by God's grace. Every human being.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in